We said last week when we were continuing on in chapter 15 of the book of 1 Corinthians that we were going to be talking a lot about doctrine and theology and how that is such a bad word, it seems, in today's, especially Christian culture. We don't want to burden ourselves with the whys of what we do. We would rather just set up the whats that we do. And a lot of times when we do that, we're just trying to satisfy that inner longing within us where we want to please ourselves while we're saying we're trying to please God. I thought Sunday school was rather interesting this morning. It kind of goes part and parcel with what we'll continue talking about today. My title for this morning is "The End is Really Just the Beginning." And before we get into the bulk of the sermon this morning, let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, where we'll read, starting with verse 20 through verse 28. "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, after that, those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and has authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says, 'All things are put in subjection,' it is evident that he is accepted who put all things in subjection to him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all." Let's pray. Father, as we open your word this morning, as we look at this subject that Paul has written about through the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, we ask that that same Spirit that wrote these words, would open our eyes to the truth of what we find here. Father, may this be all about you and not about us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We talked last week how death is not our favorite subject. Death is sad. It is never pleasant. But yet it is something that each and every one of us will experience personally, because we will all die. Plus, we will experience it through the death of others in our lives. For all will die. And we talked last week how that was not how God had intended things. God had set things up for man to live forever. That Adam and Eve, had they not sinned, could be sitting up here on the front pew with us today. But alas, that was not to be. For since by a man came death, for as in Adam, all die. That is our curse. That is what Adam provided for us. And every single person born from Cain and Abel through to the last little baby that has been born this morning somewhere around the world has been born into death. We don't think of it that way. I was over last night visiting with our niece who has a newborn baby. They're cute. They're cuddly. You can hold them. And the thought in your head is that this little beautiful thing will grow up. We don't think that the process of physical death has started already in something that small. For by a man came death, for as in Adam, all die. But that is not how things need to end. For again, also from a man came the resurrection of the dead. So also in Christ shall we all be made alive. And that is our hope as a believer. Our hope is that this body, this shell, is not the end. And by the time we get done this morning, I hope to have convinced you that this end of this body, this shell, is most certainly not the end. Verse 23, but each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, and after that those who are Christ's at his coming. Christ, we said last week, was the first of the resurrection. Not the first to be resurrected as Christ himself brought others alive, but those others whom came back to life, they did what? They died again. Christ being the first fruits of all those who will rise forevermore. Paul says after that, those who are Christ's at his coming. And if we know Christ, then we can be one of those who will be risen again at his coming. Verse 24. Then the end comes when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. This creation that God made, it is all that mankind has known for some 6,000 to 8,000 years. It's all we know, is it not? We get up in the morning. We're talking about this today. We get up this in the morning and our first thoughts are of what? My first thoughts are usually of why I am getting up. I have to go to work. I have to go to men's study. I have to get up and go to church. Everything that we dwell on, or the majority of everything that we dwell on, is centered here in this plane of existence. That should not be so. Paul says, because there is going to be an end. This that we live in someday will end. You see, God created all of this for our dominion. And someday we will go with Christ to live in His dominion. Those of us who know Him. Right now, upon this earth, there are authorities, there are kingdoms, there are those who reign and rule. One day, Christ will be the rule. Verse 25 says, "For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet." It's so hard for me to think that the Creator of all things has enemies. That He who gave existence to everything has enemies. But we only need to look back to the beginning, to Satan, one of God's most prized angels, who was not happy with his place. We only need to look to Adam and Eve, who had free reign of everything in God's creation except one, and they wanted that. And we only need to look at ourselves to see how daily we go against the commandments of the God that created us. But someday, this is going to end. There's going to be a new beginning. There's going to be a new existence for each and every one of us. For some of us, that new existence will be as children of the King. We will live in the dominion of God. We will live at ultimate peace with God. We will be forever with Christ. But But there's a flip side of that. Because for many, that will not be so. For where they will have a new beginning, that new beginning will not be in the courtyard of the God that created us. But it'll be in the fire and brimstone of an everlasting hell. Each and every one of us, I dare say, have been to a funeral. Some of us have been to many. Maybe it's one of your loved ones. Maybe you're going to comfort someone else for their loss. But inevitably, one of the most common phrases at a funeral that is spoken is they are in a much better place now. And oh, that if that were true for everyone that's lying in a casket. But it's not. Because unless they know Jesus Christ, their life is not better. But far, far worse. Maybe someone has suffered with cancer or any other debilitating disease, but they don't know Christ. To go and say, oh, they're so much better now because they're not suffering. We're not doing anybody any good. Unless we know the King, our fate is set. I had Ryan read this morning out of John chapter 3. There's a phrase in there. He that hath not the Son is condemned already. Guys, we are condemned from birth to an eternal death unless we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul's trying to get across to these people here. Again, they were thinking, Jesus rose from the dead, but we won't. Paul says, no, you will. If Christ rose, you will rise. Because the end will come. He says the last enemy that will be abolished is death. Death for mankind is just a momentary change of location. The Bible tells us, those of us that know Jesus Christ, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What a thought. Do we think of that? Are we heavenly minded? Do we think about what is to come? I know I spend too much time dwelling on the here and now. The Bible also teaches us, through an example that Jesus used with a rich man who lived his life unto himself, gave no thought whatsoever of either his eternal state or the God that created him. And in Luke, the Bible tells us, opening up his eyes, he found himself in torment. For some, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For others, to be absent from the body is to open their eyes in torment. And in the end, everyone will receive a resurrected body. That we can live with Christ forever. And someday death will be no more. Wouldn't it be nice to go through this life without the thought of having to die? Someday death will be a thing of the past. It will be defeated by Christ. He will abolish it. Because Paul, quoting the Old Testament in verse 27, says he has put all things in subjection under his feet. All things are put in subjection. Christ will be looked at as having everything under his subjection. And Paul's got to kind of explain this just a little bit. He says, all things are put in subjection. It is evident that he is accepted who put all things in subjection to him. We can't forget the heavenly order. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. But yet still in a heavenly order. Christ having all things under his subjection except God the Father. We were talking about this yesterday at men's study, kind of talking about the whole aspect of the Trinity and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We can understand that. We can understand the three parts of God. I can't understand how God can be all three at the same time. God is not God the Father for 5 minutes and then God the Son for 5 minutes and then God the Holy Spirit for 5 minutes. He is the triune God all the time. Otherwise, who was Jesus talking to on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Ryan was telling me yesterday, he's got a neighbor who is a oneness Pentecostal. They don't believe in the Trinity. They believe more in what's known as modalism. That God is three persons, but he cannot be the same person at the same time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're not going to understand that in our finite minds. No matter how we try, no matter how much we study, in this life we will never have the mind of God. And Christ, even though he is God in all aspects, is still in subjection to God the Father. Verse 28. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all. The whole gist of what we're talking about is we try to make things relative to our own beliefs. Within the sphere of Christianity, if 1 + 1 does not equal 2, then it must not be true. But within the Godhead, 1 + 1 + 1 equals 1. We don't like that. And even sometimes when we say we do like it, we don't. Oh, we're going through Revelation on Thursday night in Bible study. Going through the trumpet judgments. And trying to figure out, well, that could be a meteorite. And that could be a volcano. And that could be this. We take the Star of Bethlehem during this Easter season. We want to rationalize things. Maybe it was Halley's Comet. The parting of the Red Sea. Well, maybe it was just a sudden gush of wind that just hit in just the right way. Why can we not just say that God does things that we don't understand? Not everything is going to have a human explanation. And even in our own lives, when we're confronted with trials and temptations in our lives, and we know what the truth of Scripture says, that we should do this, but God, if I do that, then this might happen, and this might happen, and this might happen, and certainly this will happen. So we go against the counsel of God's word because we don't trust God enough. Will obeying God's word always bring us bliss? No. Will obeying God's word always have the best earthly income or outcome for us? No. But as a believer in Christ, obeying God's word will always produce a lack of guilt from disobedience to Him. God is all in all. We do things in order to please Him. At least we should. We spend too much time doing things in order to please ourselves. And sadly, I'm at the front of the line in that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Oscar. If we truly live this life with the aspect that we are just here as strangers and pilgrims, that our citizenship truly is in heaven, I dare say we would live this life much differently. I close this morning with one of my favorite cliches, Christian cliches. Think about it in the aspect of how you live your life. If the government were to come in today and put you on trial for your faith, without taking the stand and opening your mouth, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Father, I thank you this morning that we could dwell just this small time in your word. Father, as we're still talking of the resurrection, Father, as we will someday be resurrected, some of us resurrected into life, others resurrected into judgment. Father, may that be a scary thought to us today, those of us who do not know you. That, Lord, many, Bible tells us most, will live a Christless eternity. Far worse than anything they've seen on this earth. May those of us who know you, may those of us who have had our hearts been made alive to you, be obedient to tell others how they might know you. Father, bless our time now as we go into the time of communion. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.